Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning we're going to be looking at a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you turn in your Bibles, and then also we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So maybe find one and put a little bookmark there at the other so you can look at both those. We'll have slides though, Lord willing. Yeah. Recently in the news, I saw where on Lake Michigan, there was a young man who had walked out onto the ice and was ignorant of the fact that he was actually even on the lake. He was walking along the shoreline and it was just ice and snow everywhere, and he was kind of just walking out and thought he was still, maybe it curved, I'm not sure, but he thought he was still on the land, but he just kind of walked out and I don't know, that was his story, maybe he actually knew, but he walked out and he was out there a ways, and some folks on the shore saw him out there and thought, you know, that's probably not a good idea. It's been too warm and it's not probably solid enough or very safe, and so they started motioning to the young guy and saying, hey, you need, come back, and he ignored them, so they called for, I don't know, EMTs or fire department or somebody came out, because they thought, we're going to have to get this guy rescued. He's going to get in trouble out here, and so they showed up, the emergency responders showed up, and they started waving to the guy, and they're like, hey, you know, trying to get him, and he thought, these folks are so friendly, they're just all waving to me, and so he started waving to them, and they ended up going out there, I think, and getting him and bringing him back, because he just didn't understand that he was in a dangerous situation. He was ignorant of that, and then, if that was, you know, praise the Lord that this guy was okay. But there was another situation on Lake Erie a few days later where 18 people out on the ice, and I think the story said that they were out there on those all-terrain vehicles, and so they thought, you know, the ice was good and that they were going to have some fun out there, and the ice started breaking, and it actually broke off and started drifting out and separated. They couldn't get back to the shore, and I think, according to the story, if I remember right, there was somebody who was like an amateur helicopter pilot, was just out that morning and happened to see these folks, and praise God, again, I mean, God puts people in the right place at the right time, and he saw these people and called the authorities, and they came out, and the Coast Guard, and I think they said they had a Coast Guard helicopter and Coast Guard boat, and it still wasn't enough to get all those people, so then just, they said a good Samaritan showed up and rescued seven of them with his, I don't think it's specified, probably a boat, but they all got rescued. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. But, you know, I thought about that, how, you know, we often can be in situations where maybe we are very confident in our belief, you know, about something. Like these folks were very confident that Lake Erie's frozen over. We're good to go. Let's get out the ATVs and have some fun. And then the ice breaks, you know, and they're in serious trouble. You know, there's just times where reality, and there's a gap between reality and belief sometimes. And so there was a politician, an interesting politician years ago, Daniel Patrick Moynihan. Does anybody remember him? He was, yeah. I was actually, you guys don't, I don't think I've ever confessed this from the pulpit, so I'm going to confess today, and I have repented. I used to be a political geek when I was younger. Really into politics, like when I was very, very young. So anyway, I remember him, not that it matters too much, but he was a Democrat. I think representative from New York, and then he actually ended up working as an advisor for Republican president. So they actually used to play nice together back in the day. Do you guys remember that? It was really cool. They tried to get along, and they were like listening to each other. It was awesome. We need to pray for that. Anyway, he said a lot of smart things and wrote some books. One of the quotes that I really appreciate from Representative Moynihan, he said, "You are entitled to your opinion, but you are not entitled to your own facts." And I think that's a very astute observation. I think that's very true. I've heard it said in the Christian context that you have the right to have whatever beliefs you want to have. You can believe what you want to believe, but you don't get to believe your own truth. Truth is truth. You know, truth is fact. It's truth. You know, apart from you, whether you believe it or not, you can believe what you want to believe. God, in creating us in His image, part of that, He's given us free will. And so you can choose what you want to believe, but that doesn't make it truth. You know, truth is truth no matter what you happen to believe. Now, that is a very countercultural view these days. We live in a time when a lot of people believe that truth is subjective, that truth actually varies per person, and that's taught in a lot of schools, and I won't go into all that, but and there's slogans out there that reflect that. Like you hear people say, live your truth. Have you guys heard people say that? I hear it all the time. Like if you hear a lot of the influencers, on social media, you hear that a lot. That's kind of a mantra that you hear, your truth and live your truth. And that's really stinking thinking. That's really not a good idea. If that means that you just get to take whatever you believe and label that as truth, because that's actually, that's walking out onto thin ice. That's saying that whether it's solid and can support me or not, I just want to believe what I want to believe, and I'm just going to walk out there. And the thing is that truth really matters, even more than belief. If I've got just a little bit of confidence, a little bit of faith, a little bit of belief that this ice will hold me up, if it's a foot thick, even if I could be scared to death, but if I just believe a little that it can support me, I can walk out onto that ice and I'll be fine. Because the truth is, it's solid. It's safe. But if that ice is a half an inch thick, it doesn't matter how much I believe, how much I trust. If I walk out, I'm in trouble if I step onto that. So it really matters. And I say that because there's a lot of pushback today against truth, especially biblical truth. And so, which we know as Christians, that the Bible is the Word of God. It is inerrant and it provides truth. It is a revealer of truth. God gave us His Word so that we would know the truth and the truth would set us free in Christ Jesus. So this morning we're going to have an opportunity together, not just listening to me, but for all of us to speak some truth, to proclaim some truth. And again, you may not have 100% strong faith or confidence necessarily, whether you have a little or not. But if you can say it sincerely, if you have a little bit of faith, a little bit of trust in the truth, I invite you to speak it today. And if not, you can always pray and say, Lord, help me to believe. And He will do that. He's faithful. So, Jesus told us, recorded in John 8:32, He said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth will make you free. As a church and as Christians, we want that. We want to walk in the joy and the grace and the freedom that Jesus has purchased for us. And to do that, we have to know the truth. We have to stand in the Word of God. So today, we're going to think about what it means for a moment to be a biblical church, a church that knows the truth, a church that speaks truth, that thinks truth, that lives truth. And that should be a normal thing. That should be for all churches to want to be in complete alignment with the Word of God. Have you guys ever heard expressions about talking about balance? Well, you need to have balance in life. You need to have balance between this and that. And there are contexts in which that's true, but when it comes to the Word of God, you need to throw out balance. You need radical alignment with the Word of God. All of us do, right? You don't need balance between like what the world thinks and what the Word of God says. You need radical alignment in your thinking, in your heart, in your actions, in your speech with the Word of God. And so we're going to look at that today, and that should be normal for the church. And I don't really like using that word normal too much, because sometimes our standard for normal is like us. Like I'm normal and everybody who's not like me is a weirdo. That's a really horrible way to look at it. That's a terrible, for a couple reasons. One, God creates wondrous diversity. He does, intentionally. Like we are so different on purpose. And that's not all good. Some of that's like difference in our symptoms of sin. But God makes us very different, and we need to appreciate that, and we praise God for that. So when I talk about normal and normal church, what I mean is just like plain vanilla ice cream. There's no extra toppings. It's just, this is what church is supposed to be according to the Word of God. This is what we should think. There's not things missing. There's not things added to it. It's just nothing, other than just church, what we're supposed to be, normal church. So what standards should we use to to evaluate ourselves. If we want to say, well, we want to be, that's what we want to be. We want to have right thinking. We want to think in a truthful way and be a normal church, whatever that is, and to speak that way and to act that way and live that way. What standard do we look at other churches and say, oh, well, they've got a lot of people in the pews and they've got a television program, so let's be like them. Is that a good way to approach it? No, it's terrible. A terrible way to approach it is actually counter to the Word of God, and I hope we would never be foolish enough to do that. Although I know we're tempted. You know, there's times that we inadvertently maybe start to go there. See, the problem with comparisons, when we compare ourselves to other churches, or even individually, if you compare yourself to other Christians, the problem is that it always ends badly, no matter what. Because God's our standard, right? Not other people, and not even ourselves. God's what He says in His Word about us is what matters. What He declares as truth about you is what matters. That's the truth. That's the standard. No matter what anybody else thinks, no matter what anybody else says, if you start comparing yourself to other Christians, here's what will happen. So you'll probably do what my temptation first would be to go out. I need to find somebody out there who I regard as less spiritual than I am. You know, that's what my thinking would be, because I want to feel good about myself, right? And we do that with church. We start thinking our church is more spiritual than that church. Our church is more loving than that church. Our church is more faithful than that. You know, we start looking at these different standards and thinking we're better. Do you know the only place that can go? It's pride. The only place that can take you to is sin. I mean, really, God does not, we are not the judge of other churches, right? God is. So all that can do is take you to a place of sin. Now it is good to be truthful. I'm not saying that we don't apply truth. You know, there are church contexts where they're preaching error. You know, it's good to be truthful about that. Okay, but I'm talking about, you know, a judgment of comparison. Of it ends in pride. Or the flip side is we start thinking about maybe a person who, you know, I start thinking about Vance Havner, great preacher of years ago, or Charles Spurgeon, you know, prince of preachers from years ago, or my friend Jess Horner, who was a wonderful brother in Christ, or Norm Snyder, you know, great preacher and friend of mine and a mentor. I think about these guys and I think, man, I'm a loser. You know, these guys are all that. You know, I'm nothing. Well, God doesn't see me that way. If I'm just walking according to the Word of God and letting the Spirit lead me in my life and just a humble follower of Jesus, you know, living out a life submitted to Him and submitted to His Word, I'm unique. I'm not going to be like somebody else. And if I start thinking in those terms and I start comparing myself and letting the enemy, because he's always ready to condemn, you know, like Brad prayed earlier, you know, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. The devil constantly accusing and trying to condemn. We don't want to cooperate with that. But if we compare ourselves with other Christians and with other churches, well, we give him ammunition. You know, and we start thinking, oh, well, maybe I am a loser. You know, God wants us to walk in faith in Him, not in comparison with ourselves. That we should be confident. We should walk with confidence because our confidence is in Christ. It's not in ourselves. So there's our intro. There's our disclaimer this morning. Let's not compare ourselves to other people, but let's look at what the Word of God says. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll start there first today. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll start in verse 12. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, because they were doing some comparisons, comparing this leader with this leader, this apostle with this, and he's like, no, guys, this is foolish. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they're not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond our proper limits. We will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God Himself has assigned to us. Okay, looking at our ministry. As would be the case if we had not come to you. For we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of the work done by others. Our hope is that, as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand, so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about the work already done in someone else's territory, but let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. That's a wonderful place to land for a minute. Let that sink in. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Lord, help us to do that. For it is not the one who commends himself, who is approved by God, but the one who the Lord commends. There it is. You know, God is not terribly interested in second opinions about you. He doesn't really care to get information from other people. He kind of already knows everything about you. He doesn't need your opinion or other people's, or our opinions about other people or other churches. God's fully informed. And so we want to be, as a people of God who depend on Him, we just want to live in a way that is free and joyful, and that the Lord puts a smile on His face. That He says, yeah, you are embracing truth. You're embracing what matters, and you're living that out. You're living out my standards. You're not doing it perfectly because you're my messy kids, and I'm still working on you. Amen? Yeah, he's still working on me for sure. Part of the reason why we need to be really careful not to listen too much. Now again, God gives us accountability, right? So there's times that what's being spoken to us from somebody else is not their opinion, it's actually the Word of God. So we need to not be too dismissive. You know, be humble enough to receive that and to say, Lord, is this truth? I don't like what they're saying, but maybe I need to hear this. So we need to be humble in that, but the standard is always the Word of God. The standard is always the Word of God, because the Word of God is unchanging. It is perfect and unchanging. It is the only standard that counts. It reveals our unchanging God's perfection and His ideal. So this morning we're going to look at some things that we should know. We're going to look at some things that we should know as the church, as just normal, regular old church. Every church should know these things. And we're not going to land there just yet. I want to share with you from 1 Corinthians 2 also, if you turn there. But these are things, and there's many other things. We're just going to cover a few today. But these are things that should be typical for us, that we want to be. And we're not there yet. But we're just going to pray, and we're going to ask the Lord to help us to grow in our conviction of these truths, and to walk these out, and that these would go beyond things that just sound good or that we believe, but these are things that we really have conviction about. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul writes, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in the words taught to us by human wisdom, but in the words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them, because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments or discerns about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments or opinions. For who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct Him, the Spirit within us that teaches us? But we have the mind of Christ. Okay, so Paul writing to the Corinthians here, but this is also a word for us today. You know, he tells us, you as those who love God, who know God, who are covered by the blood of Christ, who who are the church, you have the Spirit of God. No matter, you know, you may feel you do or feel you, you know, it's not necessarily a feeling, it's just a biblical fact. He says, you have the Spirit of God. You have the love of God and the Word of God. You have the Spirit of God. You are God's people. So, as just normal church, just God's people, all God's people have the Spirit of God, right? No matter what color they are, no matter what language they speak, no matter where they live, all God's people have His Spirit to understand His Word. It's good to speak truth. It's good to speak truth. And I say this because we live in a culture that increasingly is loudly speaking many things as truth that are not. We live in a culture that is loudly screaming and getting really insistent about a lot of things as being factual and truthful, which are error, which are deceit and lies. And so, not that we're looking to pick fights with anybody, but the best way to deal with counterfeit is to bring in reality, right? It's to just speak the truth, right? You don't have to get angry or shout anybody down, but just share truth with people in love. And so we're going to declare, there's not an obligation here today, not a religious thing, but we're going to have just a few statements of truth. I'm going to invite you to speak these if you want, you know, if you can do this truthfully from your heart, speak these truths, and if you can't, you know, that's okay. You don't have to. No obligation, just an invitation this morning. But some things that we know, as people who have the Spirit of God, these are things that we know. You know, here in a bit, we're going to have a baptism. And baptism, really, that's what baptism is. Baptism is a way of speaking something through our actions that we know. Jesus is my Savior. I'm identifying with Him, right? I'm buried with Christ and raised with Christ. I have new life in Him. He's my Savior. And so that's just a way of speaking truth to the world. And so we're not all getting baptized today, if you guys haven't been baptized yet, we can, you know, it's warm. This is a great day. Might as well. You can let me know. Angel gets to go first, so she's got dibs. But we can baptize you after that. So, but it's a way to speak truth, to declare truth. I belong to Jesus. That's what that is. So we're going to do that today, this morning. So some things that we know as just normal, regular church. We know, I'm going to invite you to say this with me this morning. Go ahead, Mark. We know the Bible is the Word of God. Do you know that today? The Bible is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It is inerrant. It has authority, right, over us. We don't sit in authority and judgment over the Word of God. It has authority over us. It's the Word of God to reveal Jesus Christ to the world. And we need to understand that because there's a lot of folks that, even some folks who are brothers and sisters that really don't understand this and don't live it out. You know, if you go and look at a lot of the different religions that are about Jesus but don't follow Him very well in alignment with His Word, and you wonder, how did they get into such error? Why do they teach those things? You know, why do they... when it's so obvious, that's not in the Word of God. Well, they started with that error that they didn't understand that the Word of God has authority. And so we need to recognize this. We know that the Bible is the Word of God. It means it has authority over my life and over me. God has given us this gift of His Word, and we need to live accordingly in alignment with the Word of God. Now, again, we're not perfect, and I don't get it right all the time. And there's things that I don't understand. You know, praise God, there's not like a thousand-word theology or thousand-question theology test when you get to the pearly gates, right? Because even the greatest of us probably wouldn't get every single one correct, right? So it's the blood of Christ. It's not our perfection but our desire should be the beautiful Word of God to walk in accordance with that. That's what we want to do. And we can look at, we can evaluate not for the sake of comparison or to puff ourselves up, but we can evaluate our own growing in Christ and even use it as a litmus test if we let the Spirit reveal to us what we're saying and what we're doing, whether that's in alignment with the Word of God. You know, there's times where I'll be in a situation where maybe something's going on that's a bit out of my control and I don't really like that. And I start getting fearful. You know, maybe there's a diagnosis for a friend that I don't like. Or somebody who loses that job and maybe they're, man, what's going to happen to them and the kids? And these situations that I start to get fearful. Well, according to the Word of God, I don't need to be fearful. You know, now, I'm a human being, and I'm not perfect, and so that's God's not condemning me for that necessarily, but He invites me to receive His Word, which tells me that my God is trustworthy, and that I can come to Him with every need, and every concern, and every doubt, and every fear, and every situation, and He is a good God, and He is a powerful God, and He is sovereign, and He can work in that with a Word. He can change that situation. That's why He tells us, you know, there's loved ones that I've prayed for years and years and years for their salvation, and it hasn't happened yet. And I love that word yet. Man, what a great word. And God says, don't give up. Persist in doing good. Persist in praying. That's what the Word of God says. And yet so many times my heart takes me to places that aren't in keeping with that, or my mind does. And again, there's grace. God's not ready to beat me up. Satan would like to. There's grace for that. It's okay. But God says, no, just, I'm inviting you to trust my word. I'm inviting you to believe me. But we need to, as we're in a world today where even some preachers and some churches are declaring things as truth that don't line up with the Scriptures, we need to be very, very careful to make sure that we're just saturating our minds with the Word of God. You know, the Bible says, be transformed by renewing of your mind. You know where that happens? Engaging with the Word of God. So we need to with everything. That's just normal church, guys. That's not a new thing. I didn't make that up. That's 2,000 years of good church history, man. We know that the Word of God is the Word of God. And we don't dismiss it. We want to make sure that our lives and our words reflect that. A second thing that we know as Christians, we know God is trustworthy. Would you say this with me? We know God is trustworthy. I hope you know that today. I hope you know that today. There's times I forget, honestly, just confess to you. There's time I know it theologically all the time, right? But I get in situations where I start trying to trust in other things or, man, God is so awesome. So awesome. Spoke the worlds into existence. Saved us with the blood of His Son. I mean, He is an awesome God. Infinite in wisdom and in power. And it is completely reasonable in every situation you could possibly ever be in. It is reasonable for you to trust the Lord. It makes every bit of sense because He is completely trustworthy. He is completely trustworthy, and we need to be a people, just normal church life. We just trust God. That's just part of who we are. As a normal church, we trust God. In Romans 1:17, the Bible tells us the righteous will live by faith. We walk by faith. It's actually, some of you can't see it because of the pallets here, but we walk by faith. It's on the wall. We walk by faith, not by what? Not by sight. Not by our perceptions. We walk by faith in the Son of God. We walk by our faith in Christ Jesus, not in ourselves. One of my prayers, you guys see me doing my prayer walk some mornings, and one of my prayers during that time, pretty consistently every week, is, Lord, help me as I just walk this morning and interact with people to do everything trusting in You. That it's not looking at any moment to anything with me or what's going on with anybody else, but just every moment confident in You, trusting in You, and help it to be real. Because I know I'm supposed to be that way, right? But I don't want it to be a fake thing. Like, I know I'm supposed to seem like I want to really just be overflowing with faith in God because He's worthy of it. He is a trustworthy God. He is so good. and so trustworthy. Sometimes that's lacking. You know God gives us a remedy for that. Do you guys ever need your faith strengthened? Do you ever feel like, wow, my confidence in God, my expectation is not where it should be. Do you ever feel that way? Not just me, I hope. I don't. I hope you guys are really mountain moving faith. Maybe it is just me. God gives us a remedy. He says that faith comes by hearing the word, from the word of God. And he says, you know what? If you're lacking in faith, of course, everything in prayer, ask God, I need to trust you more. I need to expect awesome things from you more than I do. Help me, God, with that. And His Spirit will help you. But you know the way He's going to help you? When you're in the Word. He's going to show you things in the Word of God. And we don't even have to intellectually totally understand that. This is a promise to just to be believed and received from God. I'm telling you, you've got to engage with the Word of God every day. You have to. I do. Because as we do that, He is strengthening that faith. He's strengthening that trust in Him. And He promises to do that. A third thing today that we know. We know it is good to obey our Lord Jesus. You say that with me? We know it is good to obey our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Wish I did it perfectly. Someday I will in heaven. Looking forward to that day, man. No sin, no temptation, no flesh. Just going to get it right all the time. Isn't it going to be wonderful? Woo! I'm excited for that because I hate it when I disappoint them and mess up, but I'm not there yet. But I know, and I hope you know, it is so good to obey the Lord. It is so good. And there's a million things from the world trying to get you to obey other voices and other desires, other ways of living life, our own flesh, constantly trying to get us to obey something other than the Lord, especially like obey ourselves, right? We're really good at justifying self-obedience. It's a terrible, terrible thing. But we know, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. If you love me, you'll obey me. Now, He didn't say if you're religious, you'll obey me. He really cares about authenticity. He's like, I want your heart, not your religion, okay? So that it's not about going through the motions of obedience. I mean, certainly, there's those guardrails too. If He says, don't touch the stove, it's hot. Whether your heart's in it or not, don't touch the stove. It's good to obey. But how much better to do it out of love? That we obey Him out of love. So wonderful. One of the wonderful gifts the Lord has given us, the Lord's Prayer that we have, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that, right? Beautiful, beautiful prayer. I'm so glad. What a gift that Jesus gave to the disciples and to us. With that, in a personal way, on a heart level, what this is saying there in that midsection, your kingdom come, your will be done. It starts here, right? It starts in my obedience. It starts in me, His will being done in my life instead of my will. Because those are sometimes not the same thing. It is good to obey Him. It is good to obey the Lord. And let His kingdom come, His will be done. Start in each of us. And do it out of love. If you find yourself wrestling, and there's times where I have temptations and my thoughts, tempted to go somewhere they shouldn't. And I tell you, the power of the Lord to just crush that when I think about the cross and I think about the love of Jesus and I think about what He did to save me, not only to cleanse me and to wash me, but to give me the power in His Spirit to overcome sin for His glory. And I think about His motive. You know what His motive was? Couple. Glory, certainly, to the Father. But His motive for you, do you know why He did it? Love. For God so loved the world. It's really clear. He gave His only Son, that whoever believed in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It's out of a heart of love for you. Man, He radically passionately loves you, and that's why Jesus went to the cross. And I know me, and I know how I'm not worthy of that. And I, when I think about that, in the midst of a temptation, and I just think about the love of God in Christ Jesus, it just wells up in love back to Him. And all of a sudden, obeying sounds a lot better than sin. Obeying sounds so much better. Obeying Him sounds better than obeying me. Out of love, God uses that to help us. So we'll do one more. Last thing, that just regular old plain church, normal church ought to know. We know it is good to be with God's people. We know it's good to be with God's people. Amen. 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 I know a few of you remind us all of that on occasion with our prayer time, how good it is, and I appreciate that. We don't want to take that for granted. What a blessing. What a blessing to be with God's people. Now, I think about my own family and friends, and I love being with family. I do so much. Family that's near and family that's far, and I look forward to it. I miss family. One of the things I just miss with family who's not here is just hanging out, you know, around the picnic table and chewing flies off the burgers and just laughing and having fun. And it's so, you know, hearing my Aunt Jean say it's all right, they won't eat much. Yeah, or one of the other family members, you know, when I would be little, when I was little and my beans were getting mixed up with my coleslaw, and I was like, ah! And they're like, it's all going to the same place. It's okay. You know, man, it's so good. It's so good to have time with family. I love it. I look forward to it. We have, in church, I mean, yes, we're friends. We are. We're friends, but God says we're family. He says we're family. And we're not only family like today and a year from now, we're family 1,000 years from now. Isn't that awesome? In eternity, forever and ever, we're family. And it even goes beyond these walls. You know the folks down at Crossroads this morning? Those who know Jesus are family with those who know Jesus here. You know the folks worshiping in Haiti today on a dirt floor, praising Jesus, exalting His name, that's family. Isn't that wonderful? Those saints who wrote those great encouraging books that passed away 300 years ago, you know what? Even though they're in heaven today, that's family. That's family. But for our context this morning, church, okay, us, this is family. And it is so good. It is so good to have family. It's a blessing from God. It's so much, it's fun. It's encouraging. We need that encouragement. I do. I get down. Man, Kim and I had a week or, and it was great to just like hang out with my wife a little extra when we had COVID. I love you, honey. It was good. It was good to be with Kim. But I missed you guys. I did. It was just, your family. And it is good. It's so good. And you know there's folks who don't know that. There's people that just think, man, it's just me and Jesus, and I'll just hang out at home. And I don't need to hang out with family. Not only is it good and enjoyable, it's necessary. It's necessary for the church to gather. God tells us, man, don't be like those who forsake gathering together. Don't do that. That's a warning from God. Have you guys ever, maybe you've been part of a church family before and been hurt, and then you kind of left for a while? You just checked out of church gathering, church family altogether? I did, years ago. A friend of mine who was one of my very closest friends was the pastor and got fired because God was blessing him and bringing lots of people to salvation through him. But anyway, you would think that's an odd reason to get fired, but you can ask me later. I'll tell you the story. I was hurt. I wasn't just confused. I was hurt. I was deeply hurt by that. And understandably but foolishly, I just checked out of church life for a while. You know, it was a while. I didn't want to be. I thought, man, I was still a young Christian. I didn't know that. You know, I expected everybody to be perfect in leadership. They're not. He woke me up. Yeah, I'm woke in that regard. Yeah, we're not perfect. Yeah. But I was hurt and I checked out. But you know, when we do that, I'll give you one example. I know I need to move along. Lasagna's cooking. Angel wants to get baptized. What can happen is when you check out that way, first of all, you're missed. Because in the body of Christ, we're all unique. And so if you're an ear in the body and you're missing, guess what? The church is hard of hearing. That hurts the church, right? We all bring something, no matter who you are. No matter who you are. All of us. Even me. Even me. If God can use me, man, He can use you. Believe me. We all bring something beautiful because the Spirit of the Lord is in all of us. And He gifts us differently. So you hurt the body of Christ when we don't gather together. Not only is it a joyful blessing, but it's necessary. It's necessary. But we miss out. And one of the things that happens is if you're just mad and I'm gone and you just leave and you don't ever gather again, that prayer coverage of those 15, 20 people that used to see you and you could share your heart and share what's going on and the struggles with, prayer matters massively. It does. Prayers of a righteous man, powerful, effective. It makes a difference. And you take yourself out from that family prayer coverage, and I tell you, I have seen horror stories in people's lives. More families here. I have seen horror stories where people, for whatever reasons, just checked out of church life. And there are legitimate reasons, right, sometimes. Maybe they're preaching errancy, and you need to be somewhere else. But if you just check out altogether of family life, of church life, and you lose, I have seen people that it's the deer that's not with the herd that the lion's going after, right? Satan's like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. And when you are not with the flock and you are out on your own, you are setting yourself up for attack. And it will come. I've seen it time and time again of people who don't enjoy family life with the body of Christ, and that prayer coverage is not there, and 3 months later, it's not that we don't have problems, we do, but it makes all the difference in the world to have people praying for you every week. It does. And we set ourselves up for disaster when we go our own way and we don't hang out with God's people. So, all right. That's enough points for today. That's all I had slides for. These truths that God gives us and many others always are going to be in alignment with the Word of God, okay? Always. Somebody says, I've got a word for you, and it doesn't line up with the Bible. There's a problem. Okay, it's always going to line up with that, but it's also going to line up with the heart of God. We speak the truth. God tells us, speak the truth in love. In love. Knowing truth, speaking truth, it doesn't set us up to look down on anybody. Okay, we speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love, but we speak the truth. Love doesn't trump truth. We don't compromise truth ever, 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 ever in the name of love. That's not love. That's not compromising truth is not love. That young guy walking on the ice, if somebody said, you idiot, get off the ice, might have hurt his feelings. But that's a loving thing to do. If it saves him, speak the truth. But speak it in love. Make sure your heart's right. You know, speak the truth in love. Speak joy into people's lives. Speak blessing. Speak hope. Speak love. But don't compromise truth, ever. Speak truth. Speak God's word into people's lives. I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to invite Angel to come up. And she knows down the hallway here we've got a little closet there that you can. And you're not going to change, are you? You said, okay, yeah. And Kim, would you help Angel? Okay, so Kim's going to help Angel get ready for her baptism, And the worship team is going to come up, and you guys are going to have an opportunity to worship the Lord in a couple songs as Angel gets ready, and Kim prays with her, and I'm going to go get ready on the other side here, and we'll declare to the world the love of Christ Jesus in this baptism. But let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your word. Thank you that you reveal truth and you reveal love. You reveal Jesus Christ to us through your word. Lord, how wonderful it is to have your word and to have your spirit to help us increasingly understand and increasingly have confidence in your word. And Lord, we pray that you would just continue to help us grow in that, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, Lord, and help us to receive your word with joy and to share it and preach it with joy, Lord. Help us to be excited about being your church and to have the gospel and to speak that truth to a world that needs to hear it, God. But Lord, help us, God, you said that the world, when they saw Jesus, that they thought he was strange, that he didn't fit in, and that the Pharisees and others were condemning of Jesus because he was different. Lord, we know that because we belong to you, the world's going to look at us sometimes and say, you Christians really don't fit in. And maybe think we're a little bit fanatical in some ways, God. But Lord, help us to just, with joy, led by your Spirit, Lord, with a whole lot of overflowing love for people, to share the truth, God. Lord, we pray that as we do that, there would be those who would be pointed to Jesus, that you would be glorified and that your church would be strengthened and built up, Lord. God, we love you and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.